Back here on the Mighty 690 at 7:42, and we have a legislative update here, as we do each and every Friday. And joining us here, it is a fifth Friday of the month, so that means we have State Representative Ron Bryce. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. Great to be here.
Hey, good to have you. So I know that we've had a lot of excitement here just with, you know, Jerry Moran visiting Southeast Kansas. Kind of cool to have, you know, a U.S. representative here. And I know you guys have been hard at work at the State House. So where do you want to start out here this morning?
Well, yeah, it's been, this is, as I said, it's the target-rich environment, you know, for as far as news goes, because we have approximately 700 bills we're considering. Of course, a lot of them won't be passed, but some of the things happening in the state legislature this week included a tax cut bill. And when I started this legislative session, and actually when I first became elected a couple years ago, I had as a top priority tax cuts, because tax policy really is what influences so many other aspects in Southeast Kansas. And, you know, if the taxes are too high on the Kansas side, people can vote with their feet and just go a couple miles south and be in Oklahoma. And so what the state tax policy is really drives how our state grows and thrives and how it makes it better for other people. So the tax policy is a very complicated process. I'm honored and privileged to serve on the taxation committee in the House. And actually, you know, when you get Virgil Peck on here, he's really the expert, because he's the vice chairman of the Senate taxation committee. So he's been working very diligently on all this. But what we've done is we've presented more than one tax plan to Governor Kelly, and this is including income tax, property tax, sales tax, tax on Social Security income, a lot of broad spectrum tax policies, and every one she has vetoed. And it's been very, very, I'll be honest, it's been frustrating for me and for a lot of the members of the legislature, because we really do want to provide tax cuts. And there's over $4 billion basically sitting in state accounts right now that the taxpayers have paid in, and we've just been hamstrung on returning that money to the taxpayers. And so this week we went even more to the middle of the road, so to speak, to try and do something that Governor Kelly would approve of, so that taxpayers can have relief. And I think this one may fly, James. It's before we had a single rate tax plan for income tax, and I think that was a sticking point for her, because she didn't like the fact that everybody paid the same percentage of tax after you make $15,000-$20,000 of tax free, and then everything on top of that you pay a single rate of tax. She didn't like that. And so we have now a two rate tax plan. Now, before this goes into law, what's in effect now is a three different rates. There are three different tiers for income tax. And I won't get into all the numbers necessarily, because it's hard to do on the radio. But what our new plan does is it reduces the three-tier income tax to a two-rate income tax, and reduces the rate slightly on each one. It also helps with property taxes, because, you know, the property tax is kind of a two-headed thing. One is the mill levy, which is, in other words, how much percentage of your property is paid in taxes, but the other is the assessment, your property is valued. And when you combine those two and multiply them together, you get your tax rate. Well, we approached the assessment part of it. We raised, currently the first $42,000 approximately of your home's value is not taxed in property tax. We raised it from $42,000 to $100,000. So basically, if you have a $100,000 valued home, the state portion of property tax goes away, and everything above $100,000 is taxed. We also reduced a mill levy, which is the percentage we multiply it by, for the state portion of tax, from 20 to 18. So we reduced two points on the mill levy. We completely eliminate income tax on Social Security. So we think that's very, very important to for people who are retiring, who worked their whole lives, who paid into Social Security. They've already paid, you know, James, they've already paid taxes on the Social Security. You know, we did a little research on this because I was unclear about it. I thought, well, maybe when you pay tax, Social Security taxes with your paycheck, maybe that's not taxed on income, but it is. And so you've already paid income tax on your Social Security payments. And so now, instead of taxing Social Security like income, we're going to completely remove income tax on Social Security. So I think that'll be good for, especially for our retired people. There's also a point on there that completely eliminates the sales tax on food and groceries this summer rather than waiting until next year. So these are, there are other, couple of other issues too, but overall, I just want to give a picture of this is a broad-based tax cut plan because the state of Kansas has $4 billion sitting in the coffers right now just needing to be redistributed to the taxpayers, and people are suffering paying especially property taxes, but all these taxes, they're just suffering on high taxes. And so this plan that we passed in the House Monday will provide relief for everyone. Now, I'll just say the way things work, the logistics of this whole thing. I'm in the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives passed this plan. The Senate is the other house in the legislature, and they have their own plan, and I believe their latest version is still a single-rate income tax. And so what happens is they pass their plan, we pass our plan, and then the committee chairman get a conference committee together, and they just basically hash out the details. They have meetings, and they just do some horse trading, you know, this percentage for that percentage, and they work out something to where the House and the Senate can agree, and both houses vote on this, and then the final step will be sending it to the governor. And that really is key, because if she, again, vetoes our tax cut plan, it's just unclear if we can rally enough support to override her veto, because we haven't been able to override it in the past. And so I just wanted to report, I think this is a very good thing that's happening and could be a good thing for all taxpayers in Kansas. And I really hope and pray that we can get it over the finish line, because people really do need tax relief.
Well, I know it's something you hear about a lot as a representative, and it's just something that's definitely on people's minds, especially as we deal with inflation and all of that. So appreciate you talking a little bit about that today. We are talking with State Representative Ron Bryce, and we had a chance to talk with Senator Jerry Moran yesterday, which was pretty neat here on the program, and had the chance to talk to him a little bit about the AM for Every Vehicle Act, because of course that's something that's quite important to us and our listeners. And I know that the Kansas House actually made some news here just a couple days ago with a actual resolution supporting that national bill, you know, at the Washington level, but you know, here we're some support from the state level, right?
Right. And it's really going to, the nuts and bolts of it are going to be on the national level, because the state can't really regulate how car manufacturers manufacture their cars. But what it is, I'm a huge fan of AM radio. I mean, for years and years, I listened to talk radio, and it was always AM radio. I remember when I was growing up in Coffeyville, I built a radio on the roof of our house, had an antenna up there, and I would listen to KGGF, every summer while we were out of school. So I'm a big fan. I think AM radio is very important because of the public safety aspect. If there's bad weather, if there's, you know, road closures, different things, where do people go? Where do people listen? If the internet's down, where do you go? It's the AM radio. So the fact that AM radio is even being contemplated as being omitted from new vehicles is a bad idea as far as I'm concerned. And so the House of Representatives in Kansas House of Representatives did have a resolution. It's not necessarily binding on anybody, but we're just expressing our strong opinion that AM radio ought to be included in cars from here on out, and we think it would be a bad idea to remove it. So I hope that will at least have a little garner a little attention in Washington, D.C., and we'll be able to keep AM radio.
Well, that's great. It's good to have different states to show their support there kind of on the national level. So obviously we'll see where that goes as we continue. So what else would you like to talk about, sir, as we have a little bit more time? I know you have perhaps a few more bills that you'd like to discuss with us this morning.
Right. There are many, many bills happening. I think one thing that has been close to people's hearts, especially Governor Kelly, she's been promoting for probably at least a year strongly and having a statewide tour talking about Medicaid expansion. And Lieutenant Governor Toland has been around here. I've been on a roundtable discussion with him on Medicaid expansion. And so there's been a drumbeat from Medicaid expansion proponents that we need it, we need it, we need it. And so the House and the Senate last week did hold Medicaid expansion hearings. And the result of both of those hearings was that there's going to be no action on Medicaid expansion this session. And let me just back up a little bit, because people think, well, if you don't want to expand Medicaid, that means you're against poor people, you're against disabled people, you're against children. And I just want to make very, very clear that Medicaid expansion is misnamed. There's nothing about the original intent of Medicaid that's in Medicaid expansion. The original Medicaid was you provide for the poorest of the poor, you provide for children, you provide for the disabled. Medicaid expansion does absolutely nothing for those people. Medicaid expansion is for able-bodied, working-age adults who are not disabled. And it basically is a welfare program for people who are able-bodied and able to work. And I wish we would just name it something besides Medicaid expansion, because I think that throws people off. And we had hearings this week, and we had passionate opponents and proponents. Some of the people for the Medicaid expansion said it would help save rural hospitals. And, of course, that perked my ears up, because we really need to do what we can to help rural hospitals in the state of Kansas, especially western Kansas, but also right here in southeast Kansas. But if you look at the data, Medicaid expansion in other states where it's been tried, and we can see the track record, it has not saved rural hospitals. Rural hospitals still close, and some studies show that rural hospitals actually close at a higher rate after Medicaid expansion. One thing that caught my ear also is once you sign on to this government, federal government program, and they're paying 90% of it and the state pays 10%, it's very enticing. There's all these billions and billions of dollars of federal government money, actually, you know, going into debt more money. But it's enticing to use that and expand the welfare program for Medicaid expansion. But the fact is, once you sign on, it's actually part of Obamacare. And once you sign on, there's really practically no reason, no way you can get off. And so let's say in a year we decide, oh, this is a disaster. It's costing us $1 billion. We can't get out of it. It's like the Hotel California thing, you know, you can check in, but you never leave.
Sure.
And so these are the issues that make me, I voted no on passing the Medicaid expansion law. I don't believe it's right for Kansas. I think it would be extremely detrimental. And in a sense, it's immoral for me to take the money of hardworking people who are already taxed too much and tax them more in order to pay for a welfare program for other people who are able to work themselves. Well, and so I voted no on that.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm just curious, you know, from your perspective in the healthcare world, obviously, you know, it's just healthcare has changed so much here in the past several decades. And I don't know, if you could just wave a magic wand and fix, you know, healthcare, what are some of the biggest things, biggest problems you see as far as, you know, we see the rising cost of everything. I mean, we've got, you know, insurance maybe pays for a little of procedures, but I mean, the world of insurance makes things really complicated. And, you know, we get to the point where we're paying $50, it seems like, for a Band-Aid at a hospital. I mean, if you could just, you know, if there was one big thing you could change, or anything that you see that really needs to change, even if it's not very practical, what do you think is that big issue or a few big issues in the world of healthcare?
I can easily answer that. We're talking about Medicaid particularly right now, and the issue is Medicaid reimbursement. If we Medicaid reimbursement for providers has not gone up significantly for decades. And so the more Medicaid patient a provider sees, the more they go the more money they lose. So you can't make up for it by higher volume. If we can pay these, especially rural hospitals, something close to what their costs are for Medicaid, rather than expanding the financial loss of each they get from each Medicaid patient, that would be good. So my mantra is Medicaid reform is what we need to do, and not Medicaid expansion. If you expand something that's already dysfunctional and people are going broke on it, it just creates more problems. And,
sure.
And actually, James, I've spent my entire career as a medical doctor treating poor people. I've been under bridges with my black bag, set up inner city clinics, been in the jungles of Haiti setting up clinics in the poorest of the poor. So my heart is to help poor people. But Medicaid expansion does nothing for the poorest of the poor, or the disabled, or children. And so we need to look at Medicaid as something we can reform with my magic wand and let people be reimbursed appropriately. And that will save rural hospitals. That will help the healthcare system overall. The system is entirely too complex, and I think it's complex for a reason. It's hard to understand. It's like school financing. You know, nobody in the whole state completely understands either one because it's purposefully confusing. And another thing I could do with my magic wand is make it much, much more simple, because I think people do need to understand this. And so that's my magic wand.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it. And, you know, it's always interesting to hear your perspective. As we kind of run out of time here, as always, it goes really fast. If folks are interested in maybe getting a hold of you, maybe they have an issue that they would like to bring to your attention, what is the best way to get a hold of you and interact with you?
Yeah, I love to hear from people. In fact, people come visit me at the State House. Last week, we had several people from Montgomery County, the Chamber of Commerce, the Action Council, Tim Wilson, the city administrator, came from Coffeyville. Come to the State House if you can. I'll be happy to give you a tour. You can always keep up with me on Facebook, Ron Bryce for Kansas, RONBRYCE for Kansas. Or you can text me at 620-252-9881. I'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. Well, appreciate you being accessible there, sir. And I look forward to chatting again here real soon. I hope you have a good Easter weekend.
Happy Easter.
All right. That is State Representative Ron Bryce on the Mighty 690. Coming up, we have our Ask the Expert segments on the way. 56 degrees right now, and we are heading up to a high right around 74.